This is How We Podfic. I'm Opal Song.
I'm Jenna Pod.
And I'm Amazuno. So we are gathered here today to discuss how we podfic, and we had to first decide what we mean by how we podfic. And because it actually, it seems clear now that we've discussed it, that it covers a whole lot of stuff. We probably won't be able to talk about everything it could cover, but we've decided to talk about at least, if we can, in an hour to an hour and a half, how we choose podfic, how we go about getting permission, and how we deal with author relations and author contact, how we go about recording, how we go about editing, and how we go about posting, which covers a lot of how we podfic, even though there are other things that could cover. So that's what we're going to try to do. And we each going to have a small introduction, so here's mine. I am Anasuno. I recorded my first podfic in 2002 when we didn't call it podfic, and then I didn't record for a long time because there was no podfic culture. And eventually there was, and I continued recording. I mostly did a lot of Stuck at Atlantis and then quite a bit of Inception, which I'm still doing at the moment, although I recently accidentally Tin Wolfed. So that's what I've been doing. I accidentally Tin Wolfed. Guys, it just happens. And
find that amusing because I accidentally Tin Wolfed recently. So
many people did. It's terrible. And then I have a lot of tiny podfics, like smaller podfics in other fandoms, Sherlock Holmes, Doctor Who, whatever, because King Bingo is a thing that I do, and I often use podfic as a fan work for filling squares in King Bingo. So here's me.
I record under Jenna Pod, and I guess I've been podficking for a few years. The first thing I did was the Awesome Ladies Ficathon, when there was kind of a collection of little podfics, and I had been wanting to do it for a while, but that kind of pushed me because it was a really non-threatening way to do it, you know, just little short things. And so I've done quite a bit of smaller fandom-y podfics on just like random things, Gilmore Girls and Gossip Girl and things like that. And then the longer things that I've done have been mostly fandom, a little bit of Harry Potter. And then I did recently record a Teen Wolf fic when I was with some other podfickers, even though I've never seen the show. I've done some Avengers. I don't know, just bits and pieces of things. I really like the challenges. I like Awesome Ladies. I did Pod Together several times. I really love that. So I've been kind of getting more involved in just the general fandom side of it because podfic fandom is so awesome. And PodAware is part of that. So happy to be here.
I'm Opal Song. I just checked when I posted my first podfix, and I think it was May of last year, so just over a year for me. I thought it was longer than that. It feels like longer than that. I know that my first couple podfix were Bandom and Harry Potter and a little bit of American Idol.
Oh, I've done Idol too.
Yeah. And I definitely do not shy away from the big things. I'm just sort of starting to get into the fandom side of podficking. I am a lurker to end all lurkers. I don't interact with pretty much anybody except apparently authors of stuff I want to podfic. I'm starting to get into sort of the fandom side of podficking now, which I signed up for this stuff, and that's kind of terrifying. But you know, exciting. I'm starting to do this thing. So yeah, that's me.
So how you podfic is kind of throwing yourself into things.
Yes. Yes. You podfic by just going for it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay, so we should talk about how we choose which fics we're going to podfic.
Yeah. Yep.
Okay, well, I mean, I think at the very basis level, I just choose fics that I love. Because if you're going to spend, like, hours and hours with a fic, recording it and editing it and listening to it after you've edited it to check if it's okay, then you better like it. And also, I really like to listen to my own recordings, so if I record something that I really like, then I'll listen to it a lot, and that makes me happy, too. Also, I record things where there's something interesting to do, like maybe voices that would be fun or a fandom that I haven't done something in before, so it might be interesting, or maybe it fills a challenge, perfect bingo or something like that. So there can be those kind of mitigating factors. But in general, I just think sometimes I read a fic and I love it so much and I'm just like, I have to podfic this. It's amazing. So
I have definitely encountered fics where they're just poetic enough that I'm like, this needs to be recorded. Like, it would sound so good voiced and read aloud that I feel like I should podfic it just because it needs to exist in that medium.
Yeah, I think some things have this sort of lyrical, I mean, even if the style is not lyrical, but they have a sort of euphonic component to them that, you know, makes the word already kind of exist with a voice in your head.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
What's interesting is very often it's not really, it's an intrinsic quality of the fic, but it's also more of an intrinsic quality of the relationship between a fic and a reader, because there is some stuff that I love to read with my eyes, but I know that I would never be able to record it because somehow the pattern, the rhythms, the alliterations in it or whatever just doesn't resonate properly with my own brainwaves or with my own mouth. Like, it doesn't sound right when I speak it. And
yeah, I think there's definitely particular characters or fandoms or, like, the way an author puts things that you're more comfortable reading just because that matches your intonation or your I mean, because podfic is acting, but there's also a level of just what you're comfortable with.
Yeah. 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 I recorded a Full Metal Alchemist fic fairly recently this summer, and I know that when I read this fic, just the voices were so clear that I knew that I needed to read this, like read it, like record it, because just they were clear in my head and I knew exactly what I wanted to do with them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, like, there are just some fics that do that. Also, just fics that I love.
Yeah, I have a mixture of, my first idea was that, of course, I only choose to record fics that I kind of fall in love with, but that's not true. So my answer is kind of like yours. It's a bit mixed. Sometimes because I'm doing King Bingo or because I am recording a gift for someone or because of another challenge or something, I will go into a research mode and try to find a fic that will match the parameters I have, and then I will end up recording something that I maybe didn't fall in love with. But it still needs to be something that I really enjoy reading, that I can, you know, do justice to, because if I don't like the text, then it's just not going to work at all. And then there's those times where you don't even choose, like that thing with the falling in love. I feel like, you know, we can almost say, I didn't choose to record that podfic. Like, I accidentally, that podfic.
Yeah.
I mean, I do a lot of cold reading podfics even. Like, sometimes I start a story, and after, like, three paragraphs, especially if I already know the author and I trust them already implicitly, I will just, after three paragraphs or four or half a page, whatever, I will stop what I'm doing, stop reading, just launch Sound Studio and start again from the top and then record the whole fic as I read it for the first time. I've done that quite a lot. So these are the sort of accidentally podfic, you know. It's just, I didn't really choose them. They sort of fell onto me like a brick on my head.
I think I'd like to do more cold reading than I have done. I was in New York recently and I kind of met up with a bunch of podficers around the area, And that's when I did that Teen Wolf one. And that was, I did about 3 cold reads within an evening as kind of joint podfix with people. And I really enjoyed them. I thought it brought a whole different thing to it because you're not knowing what's coming from the fic. You're not sure where you're going. And it just creates a different feeling than if you know it by heart, because some of the podfics I've done, especially some of the longer ones, are fics I knew and loved and had read over and over again. And that's also great because you have such a comfort level with it. But I had a lot of fun cold reading as well, and I kind of like to do it more on my own.
Yeah.
And as you say, if you know the author already, then that does create a comfort level on its own, you know, beyond – this was really different because several of them were authors I didn't know, fandoms I wasn't as familiar with, you know. So that's a different challenge, but –
Well, I mean, even my cold reads sometimes sometimes they're not good and I still need to re-record afterwards,
yeah,
or whatever. But
sure,
at least like the choice of recording that story I feel was kind of already made for me when I started reading is what I meant. Like it really can be kind of getting hit by a 2x4 with the need to speak those words aloud. And sometimes it's a bit, you know, I feel like sometimes it's a really selfish endeavor. I mean, not that it needs to be characterized in that way or not, or that even selfishness is bad. But, I mean, sometimes it's like a cannibalistic need to make those words your own in a way.
Mm.
And
yeah,
sometimes it's just more of a sort of sacerdotal instinct or something, like the need to serve this piece of text.
Or the need to be part of that experience.
Yeah.
Yeah. It can be a very complex tangle of emotions that link you to a fic. And
keep going. I'll wait.
And just, well, I was about to segue into something else because that's part of the choice. For me, sometimes the choice is made because I'm a wuss about permission, depending on the day, the mood, my comfort levels, my strength levels, my spoons and all that. Sometimes the choice is made for me because if an author doesn't have blanket permission, chances are good that even if I fall in love with their fic, I'm not going to ask permission. So I might launch into a recording and ask permission later. I might postpone my recording entirely or I might ask permission before I start recording. All 3 are possible. But personally, in my history, I'm a lot more likely to record from authors with blanket permission. So that's part of how I choose. Sometimes it's just, oh, I know this author. I will go and look at their fic and choose something from there because I know that I can play with that. That's part of the choice.
I definitely lean in that direction. And I think part of it is being a wuss about, you know, sending that email to ask, which is so silly, really. But, you know, it is definitely how I feel. But also, a little bit of it is just I'm really a procrastinator, and I have a real tendency to sign up for challenges and then not have enough time to worry about permission going and coming back and me recording the fic. So needing it to be kind of a sure thing, it's like, you know, just for sheer turnaround time.
Yep.
To make a deadline or whatever. So I think that's happened to me several times with like Podfic Big Bang or Band of Big Bang or things like that, where I've been like, well, that other one I would have to ask permission for and I don't know how long that would take, so I might as well just go with this one that I can record right this second so that I can start editing tomorrow and be ready for, you know, whenever.
Yeah.
And see, that's not like a thing at all for me. It's not a consideration because I don't record a lot from authors with blanket permission. So I'm always asking permission from authors. So when I approach a fic that I want to record, like if I fall in love with something, it's only afterwards that I go, oh, does this person have blanket permission? So like, I mean, it's not even like, yeah, I don't even, it doesn't come into consideration when I choose.
For me, there's like a secondary thing of I'm really like I often work to deadlines because I need that. And if I don't have a deadline, something can sit on my hard drive for a really long time. So I have kind of a guilt factor there where there's at least one author right now, I'm sure there's more, where I've asked permission and the person has said yes and been excited about it, and then I haven't, like, gotten around to recording yet, or maybe I've recorded and it hasn't been edited, so it sits there. And so then I feel like when I ask permission and then I come back 6 months later and say, oh, you remember that thing I asked permission for? Look, I did it. I feel really bad about, like, I feel like I create an expectation, and I know a lot of authors don't care and, you know, don't necessarily aren't interested in the podfic, but you never know if they are or not, and so I have a weird thing about that. I mean, even some of my friends, like, whose fic I've recorded in the past, like, I have a couple sitting around that, that they know exist, and they're like, is that, did you finish that? And I'm like, not yet.
See,
so,
to get around that, I record first and then ask permission later.
Well, what if they say no?
Then it just sits on my computer, which I have a couple that, like, I try to ask permission before I edit it.
Yeah.
But I have a couple that are sitting on my hard drive that I've got either no – I don't think I've ever gotten a no. No, I have once because she said it wasn't finished, that there were going to be a couple more chapters.
Yeah,
but
fair enough.
Well, yeah, exactly. Yeah. Fair enough. I'll just patiently, and then I'll record the whole thing when it's done, right? like, I'll ask permission again when it's done. But, yeah, like, there's a couple that are just sitting there because I've got no response from the authors, and it's heartbreaking, but at the same time, you know, I would rather, because I'm the same way, like, I'll start something, and then it will sit. I think I've had a couple of things where I've recorded the first chapter or the first little ficlet in a series and just it sat there for like a year and then it's you know, and then I finally get around to finishing it and then I'll ask permission because then I know that all I have to do is edit it and post it and that'll only take me, you know, about a week.
Mm-hmm.
So the only times I'll ask permission beforehand are for things with deadlines. Like, for, I did Podbang this year, like the Pod Big Bang this year, and I asked permission prior because I wanted to know whether I could do it beforehand. And I'm doing.
And that's a longer one, too.
Exactly. Exactly. And I'm doing the informal Twitter
Podic exchange. And, me, too.
Yeah. And I'm doing. And I asked permission from my author for that one as well because I know there's a deadline for that. So I have to get it done.
It's actually, it's the opposite. I mean, it's not the opposite, but I found myself in the situation where because of the informal Twitter podfic exchange, I am recording a story that I will need permission for someone who doesn't, you know, from someone who doesn't have blanket permission. And I still did the recording without asking. But there is a deadline, and I need to ask, and I need to ask soon because I don't know how long it's going to take the author to come back to me. And if they say no, obviously I will have to find something else to record. But, yeah, historically for me, permission was fraught. So instead of asking, I only podfaced blanket permission. And then I grew so used to not having to ask that I started recording stuff that required permission without even noticing that it did. But it was recording. I never published anything without permission. Not that it would be, you know, dramatic if I had it even. But it's just that it's so much of a habit for me, even like a muscular habit, to just think, oh, I will podfic this and then start doing it without there being any intermediary steps necessary. So I forgot that for some stuff, it's necessary. And then I remembered when I started hitting stuff where it was necessary. Eventually, I grew aware of that again, so much so that I'm very often afraid to ask for permission. I'm a total wuss with it, except right now in the flush of new fandom love with Teen Wolf, which is odd. But I have been, like, historically really a wuss with asking for permission. And so once I was aware again and aware that I was a wuss, I started making a conscious decision to postpone decision asking or at least to make it a very separate process from the joy of recording because it was an anxiety-making and an anxious process. I didn't want that to poison the joy of podfic making process. So I still record without asking for permission. And then, yes, eventually if it has to stay and sit there because I don't get permission, then it will stay and sit there. But that's why I have to separate the two, because one of them is toxic to me and one of them is positive to me. And I don't want the positive one to be ruined by the toxic one.
Hmm. Now, my response to that is, why is it toxic? I know that because, like, I'm a lurker for everything except apparently talking to authors that I want to podfic their stuff, because I have no problem doing that. I actually have, like, a template for the email that I send or the comment that I make or something.
Mm-hmm.
And I fill out the template with, you know, hi, I love your stuff, and this is what I like specifically about this specific thing, and then this is what Podfic is, and here's a link to my other Podfic stuff if you want to check it out.
Yeah.
And can I do this? Because it's awesome. And then, you know, I just send that out and hope, but it's not, like, it's a step that I have to do, but I don't find it, like, it causes any anxiety for me, which is just odd because I don't comment on anything else.
Out of anxiety?
I don't talk to people.
Is you're not talking to people normally out of anxiety? Like, the reason that you don't feedback stuff or talk to people on journals or whatever, is that out of anxiety? Or just a habit?
I don't know. Like, I mean, part of it is that I, like, once I finish something, like, I'm a big fan of the kudos button on AO3 mm-hmm. because it means I can say, I love your stuff without having to really pause in what I do. Like, mm-hmm. I can go on to the next thing. And also, it often feels like when I comment on stuff, it's just a, wow, I love this so much. And then I have nothing sort of constructive to say or a way to engage it. And so, you know, I feel that's kind of, you know,
not
unhelpful. Like, I mean,
or,
it's helpful
yeah.
that they know that I like it, but.
Yeah, right. Well, I almost don't want to answer your question about what makes it an anxious process for me, because I feel like. And I don't think
you don't have to. You definitely don't have to.
No, but it's just that I feel like this is a thing that is almost. Of course, everyone is different, and it's a very personal thing, but it's also an anxiety that can communicate itself. And so,
if you don't have it, you don't want to. Yes,
I still something that needs kind of addressing, or that could be addressed anyway. I think I'm. I've been a Podfic activist, I think, for a long time, in the sense that I feel like I've had to kind of advocate for the existence of Podfic and for mm-hmm. the goodness of Podfic and what it is and how it works and why it's not a threat to authors and why blanket permission is good and why we're not disgusting for wanting to read porn out loud to our fellow fangirls or fans of, you know, every stripe. And being in that position means that no one but myself put myself in, right? It's not that I haven't been elected to office or anything. Obviously, I did that in my own way for my own reasons or whatever. But being in that position that I put myself in means that I've had a lot of discussions with other podfickers, and I've seen kind of a lot of the way that people who don't know or care for podfick react to it.
Mm.
And so that has tainted my perception. My perception is biased. I believe in some way that is probably very wrong, but based on my own experience, if not on actual fact that is relevant outside of it, I believe that the world is out for the world is out to get Podfic. And so, you know, when you've read a few too many threads on Anon memes about how we're disgusting and creepy, it starts being hard emailing authors because you don't want to hear them say no, but you also don't want them to hear to tell you that they want you to audition first. Yeah.
Mm.
Or to ask what Podfic is, even though ignorance is not a sin, right? Like, if someone says, what is Podfic and why should I care? That is a very innocent question. There's nothing toxic or or antagonistic about it. But it's not a question that I myself am in a good place to answer. It's a question that will feel antagonistic to me and that will rub my face in the fact that what I'm doing is still a niche weirdo thing that many people within fandom still manage to ignore. And it's fine if they ignore it. I don't blame them for ignoring it, but I don't want to be faced with their ignorance. I can't cope with it. It's my own anxiety at work. So I'm not really, even though I wanted to make a template like you have, and I want to make a dear author letter like Paraka did, which is a very useful tool when you deal with authors who have no clue what Potfic is, I still haven't done these things. What I'm doing is avoiding situations where I will need these tools instead. So that's how I Potfic, is with my head in the sand.
But that's a legitimate approach to it. I feel like if you're not comfortable approaching that situation, then not doing it is, you know, it makes it good for you.
Yeah, exactly. So, like I keep to the side of the river where I can keep doing my stuff.
So as far as if we're talking about, you know, head in the sand, not asking for permission or et cetera, how does that filter through into general author contact during Potfic process itself? Is it the same approach, or is that different?
It's totally the same approach. I mean, historically, I don't talk to authors about what I'm doing with their Potfic, with their fic. I mean, I just say, I don't even warn them, because when they're blanket permission, I don't need to warn them. So I just drop a link afterwards and say, hey, I've done this. But I've also Potfic my friends, in which case I will tell them when I start. I mean, it's not that I make a policy of telling them, but I might just tell them in a comment right away, I'm going to Potfic this story of yours because I just read it and it's awesome, so I'm going to Potfic it. So that's the sort of thing, the sort of author contact that I'm used to. But now it's been, you know, I say all that and it's actually changed. Like in Teen Wolf, I have asked permission several times and received it. And I have had author contact during a Potfic where the latest that I released has music in it, and the music suggestions all come from the author. So it was much more of a collaboration, even though she didn't collaborate in any other way. She just told me, if you want to put music in, I have a few ideas, and then sent me the tracks. That's all she did. And she applied no pressure, and she did, you know, she didn't say, I want to co-make this Potfic with you. She just said, if you want to do this, here's that. Do whatever you want. But even that was like a lot more collaboration than I've ever had before, I think.
Yeah.
And it was cool. But that's kind of like the maximum of my experience, which I guess is very different from yours.
Did you, have you done Pod Together?
No.
Okay.
I was kind of signed up for, I was afraid of it too. And then at the last minute, we decided with two friends that we would try to do a thing where one of us writes, another one makes art, and I do Potfic. Mm-hmm. But we were not actually signed up for the challenge, and it sort of petered out so far, so it hasn't gone very far yet.
Okay, because I was going to say this earlier, but I think there's an interesting division between a challenge like Pod Together for several reasons. But number one, if you're the fic that's presented to you is not a fic you've chosen. So that's an interesting, and you may or may not have an action in the process. You know, various people did that challenge very different ways. And so some were in on the ground floor, you know, brainstorming as an author. And in other cases, the fic was more just given to them. So, but it's definitely not a fic that you saw. You're agreeing to podfic it before the fic exists. So that's a whole different level. But also the amount of author contact you have, because the entire point of the challenge is to discuss it all the way through. And I did Pod Together really early on in my kind of podficking career, I guess, or reasonably early, and really loved it. And so that created a really good example of an author podficker relationship for me, even though in the general scheme of podficking it's kind of an artificial one because it's not very usual to do it that way. But I do like that as a process.
Right. Whereas I'm probably informed by the same history and my head in the sand kind of habit.
Sure.
I think it's a great challenge, but I kind of look at it askance and think it's a not for me challenge. Like I'm very afraid of, like, emotionally of what might happen to me if I stepped there. So I agreed with my two friends because of the trust that already pre-exists between all of us. But I mm-hmm. think, you know, the idea of, I've podfixed stuff for charity where I didn't choose the stories. And some of them were great experiences where I love the stories, but I also have one or two instances of recording a fic that I didn't like, and that was super traumatic to me in a way that makes me really reluctant to step into any challenge where I agree to podfix something that I haven't read yet. So it's not so much the relationship with the author, because as you said, it gives a framework where you're sort of guaranteed a positive relationship, or at least that everyone who wants to be there is in it together and in a positive mindset towards collaboration. But agreeing to record something that I haven't read yet is it takes a very specific kind of trust from me to before I can say yes. So
I just have a template email that I send out for, to authors, which is what I explained earlier. And I find it very helpful.
Yeah.
But and I do include in there a little section on this is what Podfic is and this is where you can find my stuff if you want to listen to it, which I think sort of heads off both of those questions that you were worried about getting.
Mm-hmm.
Like just so that doesn't come back to me, because I up front I say, you know, maybe you do know what Podfic is, maybe you don't. This is what it is, you know.
Right.
And then more recently, because I've just recently put all my stuff on AO3, I've been linking back there and going, you know, this is where it is. If you want to listen to it, go for it.
Yeah.
You know, to sort of say, if you want to hear my stuff and listen to it prior to agreeing to this, you know, here it is. Go for it.
Right.
I mean, that creates a weird idea, because I know there are, I mean, you mentioned earlier that, you know, the idea of an audition, or, you know, that someone would expect you to do that. And so there is kind of a weird, I don't think it's terrible, but if you link it and say, oh, here's my things, if they're making the decision based on that, that's a really weird idea to me. But obviously you have no idea what their decision process is.
Yes.
And I would hope somebody would be unlikely to write you back and be like, I listened to your stuff and I really don't like it, so I don't want you to podfic.
Yeah, and I'm hoping at that point they just wouldn't respond to me.
Surely not.
I wanted to put it out there
at
that point, because
I know
that some people might want to listen to my style and that sort of thing. So, you know, I wanted to just put it there, and hey, if they listen to it, you know, it also helps with the what is Podfic, because then they can go, oh, this is what it is. And, you know, if they listen to it, maybe they'll become a fan, you know?
I think that's perfectly reasonable, and it definitely makes sense to me. It just, like, kind of pings that as a memory. And I definitely, at the beginning, I'm still on Pod Together in my head, I guess. But at the beginning of Pod Together, I wrote the authors I had and said, if you want to hear my style, you know, not that you're going to write towards it, but, you know, what my strengths are, here's my podfic or whatever.
Yeah.
So I don't have anything against linking prior work, because, of course, I'm very proud of my prior work. But, you know, it's just an interesting angle.
Yeah. Sometimes I wish I could only link certain prior works, because I'm more proud of them than others.
Yeah.
It's like,
these are my favorite ones. Don't listen to anything else.
Yeah, it's like, what if they choose to listen to the one that I'm not proud of?
Well, but that's interesting that you say that, because you're the one writing the email. You can put a link to a work that's a particular work that you're proud of.
Yeah, but I would like, because I'm in a fair number of different fandoms, I would like to give the author, like, I would also like them to, if they're going to listen to some of my stuff and experience podfic and me podficking for the first time, mm-hmm. I would like them to choose something that they're already interested in.
Right.
As opposed to me going, hey, listen to this. It's, you know, 30 minutes of porn when they're not into that. So even if that's what I'm the most proud of.
And as soon as you say, please don't listen to this one, they will.
So exactly. So, you know, just give them all of them. I know that the ones that I've put on AO3, there's a whole bunch that are quite old, like some of my first podfic that I've put on there that I'm not super proud of, but I have put like, when I posted them, I'm like, this is a repost of a very old work, you know, so I would hope that they would take that into consideration.
Yes.
Also, just because we were talking about the idea of, and we didn't really touch on it very much, of if you have, you've already gotten permission or there's blanket permission, maybe you've talked to the author, maybe you haven't, and then there's an, as you're reading the text or getting ready to read, there's an issue in it, whether it be like a typo or maybe a grammatical, you know, something that as you read it, you're uncomfortable, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
You stop on it or you notice it, what you do in that instance.
I know that I'm at, like, I talk to authors, like that's a thing that I do, apparently.
Right.
And I know before there's one podfic, I'm actually very proud of it, in the Homestuck fandom, and it's got the girl who wrote this fic created a language for the trolls in Homestuck,
mm-hmm.
and it had a couple, like, she just created it, and I'm in linguistics in school, so I commented on the fic and was like, I would love to podfic this. Can I ask you questions about this language? Because I had no idea how to sort of approach it. And we had this big, long comment fest about all the different, you know, where does the stress go? How are these things pronounced, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And I could have podficked it without that. I mean, I could have made it all up on my own. But I found it very, very helpful to talk to the author in that case.
Yeah, I think it kind of goes hand in hand with, in general, I would choose a blanket permission fic. So as far as author contact for an issue, it would have to be reasonably big for me to approach them.
Yeah.
But I did have, I mean, the most notable example for me when I was doing, I think it was my pod, it was either Band and Big Bang or Pod Fic Big Bang. But anyway, I had a fic that was blanket permission and I found some words and phrasing in it that I was just really uncomfortable reading aloud. And I thought it was probably something could be changed without hurting the fic, but obviously I felt incredibly presumptuous about it. And I was really worried, but I talked to some friends here and kind of, they were like, just email. And so I emailed this girl and said, you know, please don't think I'm criticizing, you know, whatever, et cetera. However, I love your fic, but there's, like, these three sentences that have this one word that I'm really uncomfortable reading, blah, 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 et cetera. And she was incredibly nice about it, just kind of said, oh, of course, I see what you mean. You're right, that's not integral to those that, you know, what about if you try it this way? Would that work for you? If it doesn't, let me know. I'll maybe edit in a different way or you suggest something. And I was just, I was really impressed with just how nice she was. And then she was like, oh, how's it going? I'm so excited when I saw somebody chose my fic, you know, et cetera, et cetera. I must have been Band of Big Bang because you actually put up your choice. And that was really cool because I just really appreciated it. It was a really positive interaction, and it was something that I was really scared wouldn't be because I felt like I was coming at it from a kind of critical angle to actually be like, I don't like how you wrote this sentence, when all I meant was, for me, this is, you know, a trigger of something, you know, and I can't read it. But I love the rest of the fic so much. And I hadn't realized those sentences were there because it wasn't until I was reading it aloud, which I think does sometimes happen, that I noticed them. And sometimes that happens with grammar or something like that. You don't realize until you're actually reading it aloud how clunky a sentence is or how unwieldy. And usually you just kind of motors through it. But in this case, I couldn't do that, so I was either going to have to abandon the project or ask her, and so I kind of sucked it up and did so, and I'm really glad I did, but that was unusual for me.
Yeah, other than there are like two things for me where I would feel like I can contact the author. It either has to be a really big thing, like a word I can't say or something like that triggering, or a social justice issue where I feel like a word is racist and wasn't meant that way, or, you know, like in Teen Wolf I have a personal problem with people using spastic and spaz for styles all the time because it's an ableist term.
And that's interesting. The words that I was having issues with were retarded and spastic.
Right, like exactly.
Two that I was talking to her about.
Right, so that would stop me from recording something, or it would, if I really like the fic and I trust my relationship with the author, or if, on the contrary, I don't care about my relationship to the author at all in a way that is freeing, then that would be enough for me maybe to tell them, can you change that one word because I would like to record a fic in your, I mean, this fic as a pod fic, but I can't do it if that one word stays there. Or it would have to be something super small, like, you know, if the question is, how do you deal with typos when there are typos in your fic? Well, typos, I correct them. If I'm sure it's a typo, I do not hesitate one second. If there's a word missing, which happens sometimes, like, you know, you read something and you realize that your brain provided the is in the sentence, but it wasn't actually there, or your brain didn't notice that there was a repeated word because you know that there shouldn't be a repeated word, then these things I just deal with on my own without contacting the author. But if I felt like I have to contact the author for them, I might, because they're so small that I wouldn't, it wouldn't be emotionally fraught. Now, grammar is another problem. And for me, that goes back to choice. Like you say, when you read something out loud, sometimes you notice stuff that you didn't notice on your first reading, or that you didn't notice when you were reading for pleasure, let's say, even if potficking is also for pleasure, but you know what I mean.
Yeah.
But I think I have, probably it's a professional thing, or just a long habit thing, or just a brain thing, and that's how I am, I don't know. I pretty much only do close reading. I pretty much don't know how to do any other way. I cannot skim. And I read every word, and I sound out things in my head pretty much, especially in English because it's my second language. It's not my first language. So, and I'm a translator. There is no closer reading than a translator reading.
Sure.
So
yeah.
I notice those on first readings, the grammar problems, the I have a particular pet peeve about what I consider superfluous, gratuitous, and ungrammatical overuse of the past perfect in present tense narrative, which is spreading at the moment throughout fandom. Everyone's doing it. So this is the sort of thing that I notice when I read. It bothers me when I read, and it might put me off choosing a certain fic. Even though I could maybe contact the author and say, do you mind if I change these four sentences in your, you know, 3,000 words PWP so that I can make a potfic out of it. Probably they would be okay with that. But if I don't already know them, chances are I'm just not going to record it at all instead.
There is an author on the internet, and I'm a huge, huge fan of hers. And I actually have – I would have anxiety issues about contacting her because she occasionally posts about – I'm sure she gets lots of good contact, but occasionally she posts about – how, you know, certain types of contact just make, like, kill her productivity and everything. And I wouldn't want to be that person because, you know, I enjoy reading her stuff.
Obviously.
Yeah. And so I would love to podfic her stuff. I think her stuff is awesome, but she doesn't use a beta reader. She just writes for fun, which, I mean, go for it. And I enjoy reading it, but I can sort of skim over all of those grammar issues. But I would feel, prior to podficking it, I would have to go through and sort of clean it up a little. Yep. And I do not want to contact her. And, like, I would not want to contact her and go, oh, hey, this is what podfic is. This is where my podfic is. I would love to podfic your stuff. However, you know, can I clean it up first? I wouldn't want to do that.
Because yeah, big statement. Yeah.
I mean, I wouldn't phrase it like that, obviously, but you know, and I wouldn't do that. So that does come down to choice. Like, I've thought a couple of times, like, while reading some of her stuff, I really want to podfic this, and then have just gone, no, it's just not feasible.
Yeah, because the other solution is, of course, to edit it, clean it up, and record it without, like, asking prior permission for the editing. But that's also not really an option. I mean, it's an option, obviously. If people want to do that, you know, whatever. But that's not an option I would be comfortable with. And I'm
neither
are you. Yeah.
It would involve changing a lot, especially since she has certain ways of phrasing things that just, like, I've gotten used to them in her writing, but that is not the way I talk.
Yeah.
She drops certain words all the time. So it's obviously part of her dialect to drop those words, but it's not the way, you know, it's not part of my dialect. So I would, while reading it, just automatically add those.
Mm-hmm.
Because I do in my head.
Yeah.
And I know that while reading, you know, I would just get into it and I would just start adding them and, you know, I would feel really bad about it. So I just have to step back and go, no, unfortunately, this is not a thing I can do because it would change it too much.
Yeah, that makes sense. And it's unfortunate, but it's like one of those things where you have to kind of make the choice for yourself.
Yeah, and that goes back to choosing podfic. Like, it has to be mm-hmm. something that's feasible to do.
And I always feel like there's so much amazing fic out there that although there are sometimes there's sometimes a thing like that that stops me from doing a particular fic, I always feel like there are five or six others that I would also like to record. So I never get to the point where I really feel as if it's this massive loss that for whatever reason this particular fic doesn't work for me as a project.
Yeah.
I just occasionally go through, you know, these are my five favorite authors and I would really like to have recorded something from each of them. So so they're in our community, right? But, you know.
Oh, gosh, there's so many authors I love dearly that I haven't even considered touching their stuff. So I don't know. Yeah, there's my, like, two things I would love to podfic list is just massive, and I'm so slow at getting through things, so.
Yeah, I just created one of those, and it quickly became extremely massive.
Yeah.
Okay, so I guess that's another part of how we choose that we didn't cover. So you make lists of bookmarks of stuff that you want to record eventually, right?
Yeah, I actually thought about saying that, and I guess I never got to it, was I do have, when we were talking about challenges and how you might pick a fic where you wouldn't have otherwise picked it, I do have a habit of kind of keeping a list of things that I like that, you know, when I read something and think, oh, I'd love to podfic that, but I don't have time right now, and just bookmark it. So then when I have a challenge, like, you know, the internet, the informal Twitter podfic exchange, look through that list and be like, do any of these things fit with what I'm looking for? And sometimes you don't find anything, but a lot of times it can be like, oh, I've been wanting to record that one, and actually that would be perfect for this, so I'll do it.
That's
so
exactly that my process helped. As well. Yeah, I never thought of that when we were discussing choosing, because I was focused on the choosing, but and I feel like my list of stuff to record is already chosen in a way, like that choice has already been made. It's just that the realization, like the recording stuff has been delayed or whatever, but the choosing has been done. I also have a list of, I have a secret bookmark on Pinboard of that I add to certain stuff just to make myself a list of stuff to record eventually. And I do also, when I start a challenge, I'm not one for much challenges, but I do King Bingo. So because it's the freest of all the challenges and any time I get my card early on in the round, the first thing I do is go to my Podfic to record list and see what matches what. But I also, I was thinking about something else that you said about choosing. Oh, yes, what I have now that I didn't have before, I just started that like a month or two ago, is I have a public post in my journal for people to make Podfic requests. Because when King Bingo rolls around, I always find myself asking for recs by people for IDs because I never have enough in my pre-chosen list. And so, you know, I find myself making posts like, does anyone know of, you know, a good, I don't know, virginity potfic or fic that would be, that I could potfic, or do you have any recs for, I don't know, role play, you know, animal play, fix, or whatever. And then this year, instead of doing that, I decided I would make my list of projects for King Bingo public, and it ended up becoming my list of podfic projects, which is not exactly the same as the list of stuff I bookmarked to record later.
I'll start off with the recording and editing.
Mm-hmm.
So my recording and editing, they happen not simultaneously, but I'm definitely thinking about editing while I'm recording, because when I read, like, I don't ever go back and do pickups, or very, very rarely. Because when I read, if I mess something up or I pause or, you know, my roommate comes clunking by in the background or whatever, I just, like, give it a little bit and then re-record right then.
Mm-hmm.
And so I do all of that, and it makes my files way longer than they are, than they will end up being. But so, like, I record because I know that my editing is just cutting out all of the messing up bits. Or if I don't know, like, if I come across a piece of dialogue and I'm like, well, I could say it like this, or I could say it like this, or I could say it like this, then I record it all three ways, and then when I come to it in the editing, I just pick the one that I want and delete the other two. Yeah, that's me in recording.
That is exactly how I record. I hate re-records. And so I will go out of my way to do one long, you know, just one recording session. I will do, like you said, you know, a sentence a couple ways. If I feel like I mess, you know, I'm not sure how I'm going to say it, or if I hit a name or something where I'm not sure how it's pronounced, I'll say the sentence a couple ways, you know.
Yeah.
And I definitely, if I stumble, I do like the click method. I think I got this from Penny Plain Knits,
yeah,
who's a friend of mine. And where, like, whenever you do a mistake, you just, like, snap, or you make a mouse click, and then so you can see it as a long line on your editing program.
Oh, that's – wow.
It's so good, I'm telling you, because then the first edit I do, like, a mainly visual edit. Like, I hit at all the mouse clicks. I usually do snaps, actually. I hit at all the snaps and see what that mistake was and try to get rid of as many mistakes, and then I start, like, doing a finer listening edit. So for me, that really speeds my process up because it just pinpoints those points. And I do what you said. You know, I stumble, I snap, I wait a second, I re-record it. Boom.
Like, wow. I think I'm going to start doing that.
Oh, that's cool. It's so helpful. I'm serious. I love it.
Well, I've come across the problem where, like, it takes me so long to get through it and to edit it the first time that – I'm just, like, done with it after that. I just post it. And then every so often I go back and listen to my stuff. And I'm like, oh, I missed something, or that pause is weird. And if I'd listened to it one more time, you know, I would have noticed. But by that point, I'm so done with it because I've already read it through once and then listened to the whole thing once that I'm just like, oh.
Yeah. No, I do several rounds. Like, I record it, like, all in one big thing. And then I do that kind of visual edit. And then I usually put it on my iPod or my at that point. And then I listen to it on my commute because I have, like, an hour.
Yeah,
commute.
Yeah.
And so – and then in the notepad of my iPhone, I write down timestamp signatures and what I notice. And then I go back to it on the computer and I correct all those timestamp signatures. And then usually, hopefully, I then listen to it one more time to catch anything. But again, usually on my commute, because I hate sitting in – what I'm not good at is, and what I used to – how I used to edit is sitting in front of my computer, listening to the entire file, looking at the waveforms and doing it. I'm much better if I can take it away and listen to it at work or on my commute and just mark those things down and then come back to them.
Yes, that sounds a lot better than just staring at it, because I find myself getting distracted and then missing things. And I think I could only listen to it, like, once, though, because I have a very low tolerance for listening to my own stuff.
See, I love listening to my own stuff. That helps me out, I'm sure. But
yeah,
sometimes I have a beta. Like, I have various people who have beta for me as well, particularly if it's longer and who've marked down time things and whatever, and I've gone back.
I had one for my Big Bang, for my Podfic Big Bang. But other than that, I've never had somebody beta my stuff. So... yeah, I don't know. I've only actually recently started listening to my own stuff. So.
Yeah, the visual editing is, I mean, the snapping, clicking when you make a mistake makes editing a lot faster. I agree. And I do that too. I don't tend to, but I think I'm going to do that now. What you describe, taking away the file to listen to it in a, I think of it as a beta listening, actually. It's what I do when I beta someone else's, where I get an MP3 and I listen to it and I don't have the waveform I mean, I could open the MP3 as a waveform, but I'm not supposed to edit. I'm just supposed to listen and feedback. And what you're doing by putting your stuff on your, you know, iPod and taking it on in your commute is kind of like that. And I think I should do that with my stuff more often, because what I end up doing is the very tedious listening at my computer with a waveform open kind of thing. And, yeah, and I think it changes the way that you perceive what you're listening to.
And yeah. Yes.
It's good to remove the big mistakes. It's good to you know, see where you've actually stumbled or made a real mistake, but it doesn't really help gauging flow and pacing. And I think I'm going to start doing what you do, like maybe not take it away from the computer. It doesn't matter. That's where I spend my life anyway. But just not listen to it with the waveform open, like not listen to it open in my editing software. Maybe yeah. is the way to go.
Yeah, I mean, for me, the main reason I take it away as opposed to sitting in front of the computer, you know, and doing something else is purely because I have that long commute. And actually, my commute is half the reason I got into Podfic in the first place, wanting something to listen. Because sometimes I'm not, you know, you don't always get a seat on the tube or the bus or whatever. And, you know, I have a walk. I have about 20, 30-minute walk, dependent. And so it's nice to have something that you can listen to, that you know, because reading is difficult. So for me, it was just a natural next step to also take my own stuff, because that's a period of time that happens every single day that I don't have something to necessarily fill it. And so if I can get editing forward motion done on that time, that's really good. Mm-hmm. But it's just a virtue of my schedule, you know.
Yeah.
But I do think it's interesting what you're saying about flow and rhythm, because if you that's kind of why I like it, if I get to do that last listen, is to kind of see how it all came out for things like pauses, because a lot of times if there's breath noises or mouth clicks or something and I edit in pauses, it's nice to see if you haven't like stretched something too much or shortened it or, you know, things like that too.
Yeah. But I mean, I feel like I feel like I'm a lot slower than what you both described, though, because I listen to stuff at least 5 times before I post it. And 5 times is for something where I don't even add music or effects, which is mostly what I've done historically. But like the thing that I just posted that's almost 2 hours long, Muradago, is a story that I love. And I put music because the author had these suggestions and thought it might work. And I put effects in as well. And so checking for those effects, finding a good way of, actually, that's also a process that we could be talking about. Like, we haven't talked about what software we use or whatever, but, you know, doing all of that was actually much more difficult than what I normally do. And as a result of all my difficulties doing something that I don't do often, I have listened to that Podfic probably about 18 times before I posted it.
Wow. I would say I generally listen to it like 3 times, I think. But then there's when I am going back to make those changes, I end up listening to little sections or bits I'm fixing over and over and over again.
Right. No, obviously.
So, you know, I do hear pieces of the Podfic, multiple times, but a straight listen from start to finish, I would say a max of about 3.
Yeah. No, I don't know. I guess I don't even know why. I guess it's because I need to I conceive of things in their entirety a lot. Like, I'm not a very synthetic person. I'm more of an analytical person. But the only way that I can make sense of or, like, gauge my opinion, you know, kind of form an opinion of the entire work is if I actually consume the entire work. So
yeah.
I guess that's why I go through it like that. And it's kind of time-consuming, I admit. Like, if I was – it so happens that I live alone and all that, but, you know, if I was, like, a busy professional with 2 kids at home or whatever, it probably would be a very different process. But that's how I do it.
I would say, I was just going to say, I have, like, every time, you know, you talk about editing processes, there's always, like, a weird guilt of, like, what if my product isn't as good because I don't listen as much, or, you know, all those kind of things.
Yes.
No. Oh, my God, no, because it's not even, no, because the sad thing, it's not, I'm not even a perfectionist, and it's not, I'm not actually, like, people talk about removing breasts and removing mouth clicks, and some of my friends, are really, like, persnickety about the tiniest noise that their mouth or their tongue makes, and they talk about being traumatized by their own lip smacks and whatever. And I'm like, what? No, I just speak, and I don't remove these things, and I don't – I'm really not even a perfectionist. I just – I'm slow is a lot more true than, you know.
Yeah.
I don't think what I do is better because of that. I just think I'm slow at processing these things, and – I'm slow at preparing my posting anxiety, I guess, and managing my own kind of, here is the thing that I'm going to put out into the world. And so that's how I deal with it, is by spending time with it. But it doesn't make my stuff any better than anyone else's.
I mean, no, I know that inherently. It's just a funny thing when you talk about, you know, how you go about doing things. I was thinking, because you were talking about the mouth clicks, et cetera, and I was thinking about betaing, because I have had several different people beta things. And one of the interesting things to me is getting across to whoever's betaing it what you consider important in the editing process. Like, for instance, when I did one of the pod togethers I did with my flatmate, and we decided to do it from the beginning, and we had a plan kind of thing, but she offered to beta, and she's since baited several other things for me just because she likes to listen to my things, and she was like, well, I might as well. And when she first did it, she said things like, oh, you said this word a little weird, or maybe you could, and I had to go back to her and be like, I will not re-record unless it is absolutely necessary. Please do not tell me that you think the phrasing is funny. Tell me if you hear extra sounds. Tell me if I've said a sentence that is totally wrong. Tell me if I've substituted, you know, because I will do things like, if I've said the wrong name, or if I've said, you know, I need a sentence that is somewhere else in the fic, I will take it, I'll lift a name or a word or a sentence from somewhere else and put it there instead of recording. Like, I do that a lot. So there are options, but I was kind of had to come back to her and be like, the first time she did it, just be like, actually, what you're looking for isn't what I meant you to, and I'm so sorry that I didn't give you more of a guideline, because she's not even a pod ficker, you know, so she didn't really have an idea of what the process is or what kinds of things are easy to fix. And that was one thing. And the other thing was that Greedy Dancer has betaed several things for me, and she's amazing, but very precise.
Sorry. Yes.
And far more precise than I think I am. And the first thing she baited for me was Sunset Mog's rugby fic, which is like 50K. And I was stressing about it anyway because it was a co-release with another friend of mine, Night Tracer. And she was much faster than I was. And so I was already stressing a little bit because I wasn't going to be done. You know, she kept being like, oh, I'm done with this section. And I was like, oh, I'm not. And so then I said, then Greedy Dancer was like baiting, and there was a bunch of things that she marked, and I had to be like, actually, can you kind of give me, like, you know, half of this amount? Like, pick the things that you really consider are egregious, and those other things are going to be okay, you know, like the level of what I'm willing to accept for this recording, because my house is big and old and creaky, is, you know, a little lower than what you're looking at. And then since she was like, I'm so sorry I made you feel bad. But I was like, no, it's okay. It's just that was – I wasn't able to do that level of edit on that, you know, five-hour podcast or whatever.
Yeah, I mean, bidding is kind of – I mean, I guess we didn't even think of writing it down. But, you know, it's in between editing and posting or whatever is beta, if you have a beta. Not everyone does. And not every beta does the same thing. So, yeah, it's kind of like bidding for fic. You need to say, I'm looking for a grammar help, or I'm looking for someone who's going to tell me if my plot hangs together correctly, or talk to me about characterization or pacing or whatever. And you have – I don't often have a beta. I just happen to have betas right now because I'm in the same fandom with a few of my closer plot figure friends. And so I ended up having betas for stuff recently. And also, I guess, because I was made a bit self-conscious when others had betas and I didn't. And that old, you know, when people describe that process, you start feeling like your process is wrong. So I had stuff baited by a range of different people, and everybody had their own peeves and styles and level of preciseness and thoroughness and precision, I guess, and thoroughness. And yeah, if you don't give them guidelines, you don't know what you're going to get back. I don't give people guidelines because I'm happy with any level of comment, and I want people to do what comes to them freely when they beta my stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm fully prepared. It's weird with all my other social anxieties, but in that context, I'm fully prepared to receive a level of critique that is actually soul-destroying. if it ever happens. It has never happened because usually I guess I'm the hardest on my own stuff. So when someone says, you know, like right here, your pause is a little too long, I already have that note in my notebook. So
I definitely think that's true. And a lot of times notes I get back are similar to the notes I've made for myself. And I think like in those two examples, for my flatmate, it was more that I didn't want her to waste time writing down things that I wasn't even going to consider touching, you know?
Yeah.
So I wanted, and because she isn't a pod figure, like she just didn't know how to approach it at all, really. And so that was just a conversation we had. And we had been having, because it was pod together, we had been talking about it the whole way anyway. So it was just a matter of, you know, we were in the same room and me being like, that doesn't really, like, can you do this instead, you know? So I didn't want to feel like you're controlling the way somebody reacts to something, but just like so that the other person doesn't spend time in a way that's not necessary. And for Greedy Dancer, it was more of a like, less so that she was super critical and that hurt me, which wasn't true at all, but more just that every little sound, like she was very specific, which was amazing, but I just didn't have the time to address, I guess.
Yeah. I definitely don't think I would ever address a list of things that Greedy Dancer picks up. So she's one of the people I think about when I talk of like pot picker, you know, perfectionist pot pickers. So.
She's just as hard on herself.
No, I know. It's mostly how I know she's a perfectionist is the way that she talks about her own process that it's kind of scary to me to think of.
She did a post at some point about math picks and about various things and her editing process, I think, and how she took things out. So yeah, which is very interesting. We didn't talk about what software we use. We were
right.
Going to kind of go back to that. And I use GarageBand and a Snowball mic. I don't know if that changes anything, but
I use Audacity and I bought a fairly nice headset to use.
Ah, okay.
I use a Snowball mic as well that I bought recently, and I'm on a Mac too, so I have GarageBand, but it looks like a steam engine that does way too many things for me, and I'm completely lost in it. So I use Sound Studio. That's a much smaller footprint kind of software. It doesn't look as scary and suits my need very well. And sometimes I use Soundflower that I mentioned earlier on. I will give a link to the post that I made about it a while back. It's a tiny tool that enables me to record stuff from various sources, including internet sources. And I've used it mostly to extract sound effects I liked from various places on the internet. So
yep.
That's another piece of
really
software.
Me.
Yeah, but other than that, yeah, I use iTunes for my own podfic listening and consumption side, and so that's also iTunes that I use to tag my files when they're finished.
Same.
But yeah, between iTunes and Sound Studio, that's pretty much all that I use.
I guess I use Audiobook Builder in the case of needing like a chaptered audiobook or anything like that for something longer. Otherwise, if it's just one file, I just kind of force the audiobook in iTunes usually.
Right. I don't make audiobooks.
I wish I could make audiobooks, but
they're not hard. They're really not difficult to do. And the audiobook builder, I can't remember now if it costs money or not because I've had it for so many millions of years. If it did, it wasn't very much. But really easy. You just pick the files and it goes and makes a pod book, basically.
You can totally make audiobooks for free on Windows. I'll find you the link for the software that does that. And also, you can make audiobooks because if you have iTunes from an MP3, you can convert your MP3 into an M4A file. And once you have an M4A file, you can just rename it to M4B, and it becomes a podbook.
Oh,
yeah,
that's very cool.
That's what I would do anytime it was just one file. The only reason I like Audiobook Builder is if it's something longer and you want to put in chapters or something like that. Like, I like things to be, and I will often, if people publish something as a separate thing with chapters, I'll often make my own audiobook for my own collection because I like things to be neat. So.
Yeah, audiobooks, if you have an M4A, it's the same thing as an M4B file. So you can just change the extension, and it's the same thing. But there's an MP3 to audiobook converter for Windows that's a free tool that allows you to do chaptered audiobooks because it's just a window where you open it and you put all the different MP3s. You have to have your chapters as different MP3s, but then you put them all in the window. You say, I want these chapters, these MP3s in that order, and I want an audiobook that's chaptered from them, and it just does it for you, and it's a free tool. So that's easy enough. Also, because I just discovered that a friend of mine didn't know this, and I feel like I've been telling everyone ever since I discovered it, which is now 2 years ago or 3 years ago, but when I discovered it, it changed my world. As a Podfic listener, not maker, if you are annoyed with some of your Podfic being in MP3 and taking space in your music library instead of your audiobook library, but you don't want to go through the hassle of converting it, you can just go and tell iTunes to classify that MP3 as an audiobook.
I'm pretty strict with my iTunes just in general. So, like, usually when we've totally moved into consumption, but usually when I download Podfic, I will make it an audiobook using iTunes, you know, just right-click edit into an audiobook, and then I will change the titling and tags according to my system.
I do that as well.
Yeah, I think we all re-tag.
Yeah, which is pretty common. But I definitely also put them all as audiobooks because I want them all in the same place. And then just, you know, title Podfic or whatever. And, you know, I have folders and stuff, whatever. But I'm sure most do.
Yeah. Do we want to talk about how we post?
Sure. I mean, I post I actually just started posting on Tumblr. Like, I've been posting on LiveJournal since I started posting Podfic at all. And I normally post both on my own live journal and on the Amplificathon journal. And then recently, like, posting two places was sort of enough hassle. But then recently I started posting everything on AO3 as well because I participated in Yuletide last year. So I got an invite. And so I figured, well, hey, I'll post it all here too. And that actually increased traffic by a lot.
Yeah.
I
mean, I didn't notice that, but I believe you. No problem.
Yeah. And then I recently, in the past 3 weeks, got a Tumblr because Tumblr confuses me, but I'm slowly easing in. And so I figured, well, hey, I'll post all my stuff here. Mostly because the Homestuck community, which is my latest fandom, is huge on Tumblr, so I kind of had to go there if I wanted anything.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I started posting there, and it's daunting to make a new Podfic now because it's like, wow, I need to post it in like four different places.
Yeah, I'm so terrible at cross posting. I want to be better, but I cross post to Dreamwidth and LJ, like I have them hooked up.
Mm.
The idea that someday I'll navigate over properly. But anyway, at the moment I just post to Dreamwidth and it automatically goes on my LJ. So that's the same. But then you have to go in and edit your master list, or I do anyway, on both separately. And there are things I've done for Podfic Bingo, but haven't like updated my Podfic Bingo page to say, hey, I did this for Podfic Bingo. And then there are things I have not posted on Amplit Pickathon, which I know I need to do because otherwise it won't get archived. And then my AO3, again, is like has some things, but not all of them. So I have a spreadsheet that's kind of like halfway done that is an idea to, you know, organizing my cross-posting because it's just in shambles. But I haven't really like fully done that. So that's something I want to work on because it drives me crazy when I see I have something in one place and not in the other. And also because I changed a lot of my links when Mega Upload went down and I started using Pataka's hosting. And so I need, although I updated them, I think I've updated them everywhere. I need to check and make sure there's things like that. So not to mention Tumblr. I don't really. I don't know. I feel too old for Tumblr, although I'm sure that's not, you know.
If I hadn't gotten into Homestuck, I would still be in the what is Tumblr? How do I Tumblr stage? But, you know, since Homestuck is mostly, like, the fandom is mostly on Tumblr, I kind of, yeah.
I almost don't have a choice, yeah. I made a spreadsheet too, I think last year at some point, because I wanted to keep track of all the posting steps. And not just, actually, because I record, I can get so very record happy and then edit unhappy. And then sometimes I forget, of course, that I have stuff recorded but not edited or stuff that's half edited and just needs finishing or stuff that's finished but I didn't ask permission to post. So I started a spreadsheet to have all of that. And it has posting steps as well. And my columns are terrible. Like there's so my process column are, did I bookmark the fic? Did I ask for permission? Did I record? Did I edit? Did I add tags? Because that's a special process, like the ID3 tags to the MP3. Did I upload? Did I publish? And then the publish is my journal, Amplificathon. So I post to Dreamwidth and it cross-posts to my LJ. I only post to Amplificathon on Dreamwidth now. I'm too lazy to also cross-post to LJ, which I think means I get less of an audience, but that's fine. AO3, my own Podfic website, which I'm trying to keep up with now, but I still haven't uploaded my backlog to it. so that's already four places, and that's four generic places. Like the, of course, Amplificathon to be archived. Of course, my journal because it's my journal, and then of course AO3 because I want everything there, and of course my Podfic. Websites because I want everything there. But now I've added, but when I was sort of trying to get more feedback at some point when I was really unhappy, someone told me, well, obviously you only post to potfic places. What about what other people do with their fic? What about, you know, fandom-specific places? And so when I was in Inception, which I had never done before, I started posting on an Inception community, a pairing-specific community. Sometimes there's a challenge-specific community, obviously. And then now I've added Tumblr to that. So that's – but I don't do it always, all the time. Like recently I've noticed I don't know of a pairing-specific community on Dreamwidth for my Teen Wolf stuff, even though there might be one. So I post to Teen Wolf Podfics, but I don't post to, you know, Derek Styles or whatever. But that's still a lot of different places to post. And I've noticed, actually, that one of my bigger problems is updating my spreadsheet. Even though the spreadsheet is supposed to help me do the rest, usually what happens is when I post, I'm up for it, and I did my post, and I did my post with my various text shortcuts, shortcutting tools, like I have editing tools for text that mean that I have templates and I can go, I can prepare a post faster. So when I have my post, I'm like, okay, I'm going to post it, and I put it on AO3, even though it takes, you know, like drop-down manipulations, and I hate it. And then I post it to three different places, and then I'm good on Tumblr, and then I'm like, oh, shit, I also have to update the spreadsheet. And that's the thing that I just end up not doing it. The spreadsheet and my master list are the things that sort of fall by the wayside every time.
Yeah, I definitely think master list is Because, I don't know, even though I have templates for how things go in it, just sometimes I just forget. Yeah. It's definitely an issue for me. And Amplificathon is one of my problems. There are, because if I look on the Audiofic archive and what's there, I'm like, there's not very much of my stuff here. And the reason for that is because I'm really terrible at posting to Amplificathon. And also have, like, weird anxiety about posting things that were done, like, 4 months ago to Amplificathon. Like, I feel like if I didn't post it immediately, then it's this weird thing to go back and put it there, you know, as if it's a new thing. And then I'm like, do you have to apologize? Do you write, hey, this is old, but I never posted it here. Here you go, you know? And I'm sure that's not really necessary, but in my head, it creates a kind of barrier to me putting it there if I haven't done it straight away.
Well, sometimes I can see a post pass by on Amplificathon where someone is like, hey, I forgot I didn't post those here before, so here's like 25 things I did behind the cut. And then there's 25 things they did behind the cut, and that's not actually a problem. I mean, if the reason that you post it to be archived, then that's a good way to go about it. Although, I mean, if you want, you can also just email archivist, I think.
I mean, the other thing is, when you're talking about getting more traffic or things like that, is I have a real tendency to just kind of put it out there, and then I don't think about, like, are a lot of people seeing it, or, you know, I don't always, like, look at stats or anything like that. I just kind of post it, and once I've posted it, then I'm, like, done. So going back and, like, worrying about, like, if I, you know, which seem like really good ideas, you know, posting it to a fandom-specific com or whatever, usually I'm kind of on to the next thing, and then, you know, so, like, those extra steps get skipped, definitely.
I didn't worry about traffic at all, like, and I still don't really, like, that's not why I podfic, but I did notice that when I put my stuff on AO3, it also may have been because at that point in time I was suddenly posting, like, I think I posted, like, 20 podfics in the space of, like, 3 weeks. It was insane. it was just, that's all I was doing, but I noticed I suddenly got, like, an influx of kudos and actual comments and, you know, different things, and I would get occasional stuff off of LiveJournal or off of Amplificathon, but most of it was coming off of AO3, which was just, you know, it made me think a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, I like AO3, and you were talking about the kudos earlier as a commenter, but I like it as a producer of podfic because, you know, I do think it kind of in a genre where you, I mean, in a venue where you don't usually get that much feedback, it's kind of nice. Like, kudos are like a simple thing, and it always makes me happy.
Yeah.
You know? And obviously, like, I think people are more likely to just click that button. And I know this is a thing that has been discussed ad nauseum in various posts and whatever, you know, whether they're good or bad. But for me personally, I do like that as a podfic thing. And I like AO3 because you can just very simply, like, anytime you look at the page, you can just look at hit count. And I don't really care whether that's accurate or whether, you know, what it means. I just like, oh, look at that number. That's kind of exciting.
And yeah.
I'm very simple about these things.
Yeah, no, I think it's a good way to go about it. I'm not obsessed with stats. And for the longest time, I didn't have any way to know, you know, what was downloaded and how many times it was downloaded. And now I tend to know because I put all my stuff on Mediafire, and Mediafire tells me how many times something's been downloaded. And so in an effort to know more, when I started adding streaming to my posts, which is also another thing that we do when we post, is sometimes, you know, some of us, at least I do, add a streaming option. It means uploading it somewhere else because you can't stream from Mediafire, which is its additional pain in the ass. But it also means it gave me the possibility of using – I started using URL shortcut maker, the one from Google. URL shortener is the word that I was looking for, because Google will give you stat on how many times a URL that has been accessed through the shortening. Yeah, so that can be interesting. So I use the Google shortened URL for a direct file into my streaming applet thing, like embed thing. So then I can go and see that it's been clicked on, which doesn't mean listened to, obviously, the same way that when someone downloads, it doesn't mean they're going to listen and not that they're going to like or whatever. But so I can see now that on Mediafire, something has been downloaded 47 times, and on Google, I can see that the stream has been clicked on 5 times. And I'm like you, like, it's like the hits on AO3. It doesn't really mean shit, but I just look at it and go, oh, yeah, it's like, oh, 300 people were interested in that, of course, because it's a fic by a BNF, and there's no, you know, weird, you know, incesty or whatever stuff that people might be wary of, you know. Stats are weird like that because they are meaningless, and at the same time, very often they serve to remind me that what I like is kind of not mainstream, even within fandom.
Yeah.
I like a lot of mainstream stuff within fandom. I'm not trying to pose as a, you know, hipster or whatever. I love a lot of stuff that everyone else loves, and I have no problem with being a sheep, like, not at all. But sometimes I love stuff, and I'm like, oh, everyone, of course, has read that. And everyone, of course, will, you know, be interested by the topic of that because it's a great story. And then I realize that it has, you know, I don't know, suspension, incest, underage, whatever, porn, all in the same thing.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, of course, it's not like 300 downloads. That's 5 people. 5 people are interested in this. So that's why I only have, like, 3 kudoses.
Yeah, I mean, I think sometimes it's really difficult to predict what things will be popular. And sometimes you fall into something accidentally. Like, I think I'm, like, obsessed with Pod Together in this pod. I'm going to sound like I talked about it the whole time. But I think my 2 ones that I did this year, which was the one with my flatmate, was a Parks and Recreation one, which I loved dearly, and it was super fun because there's all these crazy voices, and we watched that show together, and so we were just like, we don't have a huge overlap of fandom, so we were kind of like, what can we do? And then we had this idea, and it was just really fun from start to finish, but hasn't gotten a whole lot. I mean, it's had to, like, the comments that it has had have been really enthusiastic, but I'm not sure, like, how much traffic it actually had. It was a smaller fandom, and also for podficking a smaller fandom. So I feel like its touch was probably a little not as big. But my other one was One Direction, which not exactly in the fandom, although I'm adjacent, I don't know, whatever. I have weird issues. But it's a girl who I didn't know, but we didn't have a huge crossover. We just kind of ended up on that. And that one has massive traffic because it's like this new emerging massive fandom. And who knows how much of the Pod Together traffic is them reading the fic or listening to the pod fic, which is a whole other thing. But it definitely, the hit count is like 5 times or something. I don't even know. I haven't looked at it in ages. But you can see a real difference, and I think a lot of that is a fandom-based difference. Could be more specific a little bit, too. I don't know, but...
I definitely noticed that. I was looking at my... I think, actually, the download counts on the Audiofic Archive, because I think they also have numbers
now they have
for how many times it's been downloaded from there.
Yeah.
I really need to...
I don't think they're download numbers. I think they're how many times the page for that Patrick has been accessed.
Well, anyway, I was looking at numbers on there, and I think also on AO3 for just like I glanced at them, and as I said, I've done like a couple of like Bandom and Homestuck ones, and I've done like a Harry Potter one or two and those sorts of things, and they all had fair numbers. And then I look at the couple of Avengers ones that I've done, and massive. And the weirdest thing is I think all of the Avengers fic that I've done, except maybe one, but maybe all of it, I've recorded with other people, like people that I know in real life. We've just sat down and recorded them. So a lot of them are not stuff that I'm super, super proud of. Just because, you know, it was just a bunch of friends in a room recording, and I'm like, well, hey, I'll edit this and then chuck it up on the internet. Mm-hmm. But that's what has the numbers, as opposed to, you know, this Homestuck one that I think is the best thing in the entire world, you know, my best recording ever. It does not get the numbers.
Mm. Yeah, it can be Yeah, it can be really fandom specific, and then yeah, like kind specific. Like I don't think, you know, in Teen Wolf you can record underage whatever and you still get the same hits because the fandom is pretty much, you know, has a main pairing with an underage character, and anyone in the fandom is, you know, I mean, I feel like 90% of the fandom population will happily read and consume fanworks with an underage character in it.
Right.
But in other fandoms, an underage tag is a lot more rare. And
yeah.
So if you have anything with an underage tag in that, in fandoms where it's not as common, then your audience has already been slashed, you know, by like half or two thirds or whatever.
Yeah. Same with kinks, I guess, because there are certain things that if you tag a specific kink or whatever, there's just going to naturally be a certain section of people who are just going to backspace out when they see that.
Or pairings.
Or pairings, yeah. Like, I mean, people have very specific preferences, and some fandoms are more OTP-ish than others, I guess.
Yeah.
Which is, you know, all of which is fine, but it's an interesting thing to take into account when you're looking at stats or kudos or comments or whatever, you know.
Yeah,
yeah,
it's stuff that you just get reminded of when you see disparities and you're scratching your head and wondering why, and then suddenly you go, oh yeah, of course, this is random.
And I don't post fic, but I would assume that is the same for a fanfic author.
Oh, probably, yeah. Like the giant hit counts in Avengers and the giant hit counts in, I don't know. I mean, there's stuff also because historically we didn't have the AO3 before that long. So
yeah.
I feel in some ways there are fandoms where we feel like it's new, like those numbers are new, but it's just the first time that we see them.
Yeah, they're just really in your face. I mean, it's one thing to say, oh, this has this many comments or whatever. It's quite another to literally see the hit count of a page right at the top.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or the wall of kudos at the bottom where you're like, this guy has like, what, 1,700 kudos on a fic. And you're like, well, yeah, but 1,700 kudos when there's a kudos button and you're talking a giant fandom. And maybe an SGA fic would have had that, you know, 6 years, 7 years ago if there had been AO3 with a kudos button at the time. And it just wasn't there, so we will never know. So it feels like it's a new, like the numbers are new, but probably the numbers are not that new. It's just the fact that we can see them is new.
Yeah, the access to them is, yeah.
Yeah.
So we have been going for about an hour and a half here, so we think we've pretty fully covered our podfic process, including, you know, how from all the way from what we're choosing to what we're doing with it when we've made that choice as far as the actual podfic performance, contact with the author, and the editing and how in-depth we are there. So we hope that it was interesting and that maybe we'd love to hear what other people's processes are. So if you want to comment and let us know, that would be amazing. And that's all. Thanks for listening. I'm Jenna Pod.
I'm Opal Song.
And I'm Anasuno. If you want to record something from, say, a video that's playing in your browser,
mm-hmm.
and you want the sound of that, and you don't have a tool that allows you to download
you don't
an
want
MP3
it, yeah,
Bluetooth
out of the video
or,
and then into the computer, you want it direct from the source.
Exactly. Then you can tell SoundFlower this, because you can tell SoundFlower, okay, now you're going to take the sound from the sound card directly right now, and then you press record, and you just record. Like, that's how I steal sound effects. So I will talk about that later, I guess.
Yeah, that sounds ridiculously useful, actually. I've never heard of it.
Yeah, and it's free, and it's easy to use and all that.